Welcome to Bar Talk, the place women go to train, grow, and find balance in Christ. Today, we're going to discuss feminine discretion and modesty, essentially, a time and a place. You ready? Breathe in. And 5, 6, 7. Hello, lovely. Have you ever wondered when's the right time and right place to do certain things? Today, we're going to answer that question as it pertains to our conversations, hygiene, clothing, hair, makeup, and social media. Let's discover how we can be more discreet and modest as we strive to dance through life as feminine women in Christ. Today, we're going to start with the topic of conversation. Now, as someone who considers herself painfully honest, practicing discretion in conversation is a challenge for me. However, I like to consider the person that I'm speaking with and the setting. For example, there are certain people that I don't trust with the deepest, darkest secrets of my life. Whereas, on the other hand, there are people who I want to be completely and almost rawly honest with because I trust them with my heart. I think that being a godly woman has so much to do with discernment, discerning other people and their character, their intentions, so that you can make the best decisions when it comes to what to share and when. For example, in a professional setting, there have been times where I felt very deeply about a topic or a decision that was made, but because I'm considering the long-term effects of what sharing my feelings in conversation might, I'm considering what might be the effect of truly opening up in that moment, I'll not shrink back, but I will approach communicating my ideas differently. I always tell myself and others, it's not really what you say, it's how you say it. Are you considering the person that you're talking to? What you know of their nature and how they might respond? Are you considering the other person's feelings, or are you just trying to get your rocks off, for lack of better words, right? So being a godly feminine woman also has a lot to do with being empathetic and understanding that just because you feel a way, that doesn't give you the right to cut people with your words because you feel like your feelings are top priority at the moment. Outside of a professional setting, let's talk about friendships, right? So there have been many times where I've had friends that made decisions that I didn't necessarily agree with. However, I had to consider the mindset of my friend at the time, their emotional well-being, before I even considered sharing, you know, my feelings of disagreement with them. How are they going to receive it? Are they in a healthy space mentally to be able to respond to feedback in a healthy way? It can be the difference between having an argument where you potentially lose your friend and just waiting until the time is right. That's another thing about being a godly woman. Going back to discernment and discerning people, it's also beneficial to be able to discern when is the right time. And also understanding that you can agree to disagree. You don't have to force your opinions on others, because, you know, I can only speak for me. I wasn't ready to get it, whatever it was at the time. I wasn't ready to get it until it was time for me to get it. And there was really nothing that anybody could say or do or try to convince me of that would change my mindset. You know, as Christians, we know that, you know, one plants the seed, another waters, but only the Lord causes it to grow. So I think we have to swallow a humble pill sometimes and understand that we have to allow people to grow at their own pace. And in a loving way, at the right time, we can communicate our feelings to others while still being respectful of both them and ourselves. I guess we can't really skip over the romantic aspect of this in terms of our discreet and modest conversations. In terms of relationship, I think, again, going back to timing, the pacing of what you share is important. Not everyone deserves to have full-blown access to you, your feelings, your past, your pains. Not every person deserves that or can handle that. So it's best to use, be a good judge of character, honestly. My grandmother always told me to look for fruit, right? And when we're talking about fruit, we mean the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, right? Obviously, no one's Jesus, so no one's going to be perfect. However, before you open yourself up to a person, it's best to at least consider them a person of good character. Can you trust this person to hold your deepest fears or your trauma? Are they going to mismanage it, right? Or are they going to hold it with honor for you and themselves? So in terms of romantic relationships, I would say hold off on sharing the deep parts of you until that person has shown you by their fruit that they can handle it, that they've earned your trust. Let them earn it. It's okay. Especially since I'm talking to ladies, and I won't speak for men in general, but, you know, based on my experience, nobody really wants something, or at least, and this goes for women and men, nobody is really going to value something that they didn't have to work for. So just keep that in mind when you're dealing with people romantically. One, you're valuable above all else. So my advice to you would be to handle yourself and to walk as such, right? You don't just go around giving diamonds to anybody. Your business, your heart, that's a diamond. Your thoughts, your feelings, those are diamonds, and they should only be given to people who will truly treasure them. So it takes time to know if a person is capable of treasuring what you have to offer. So just take it slow. Moving on to the topic of hygiene. Now, how do we practice modesty and discretion in terms of our hygiene? Honestly, this one is pretty simple. As young ladies, and I'm just going to be very transparent, we have a different set of needs than a man would have, right? So just going back to, you know, protecting yourself and treasuring your body, your temple. There are certain things that as women, we should take pride in and take the utmost care of. We can go from our hair to our skincare to our daily hygiene, right? These are things that as women need to be paid particular attention to. I always like to think of women as God's flowers, right? When you think of a flower, what do you think? You think that it's beautiful to look at, it's fragrant. When you see it, it brings you joy. So I am of the mind that women are God's flowers, you know, that are made in His image, right? So in all that we do, we should strive to do it with a sense of beauty, right? With a fragrant aura, literally in this sense, right? So when it comes to your hygiene, and you know, we all have to grow, we go through puberty and we're experiencing all these things that are happening with our bodies that we don't understand. However, I'm talking to my grown women out there. There's a certain point where you know what your body needs in order to be fresh and pleasant smelling throughout the day. So enough about y'all. Let me tell y'all about me. So for me, I know that, you know, when I'm talking to people, I want, if my breath don't smell minty, I at least want it to, you know, smell clean, pleasant, right? So I always have mints in my purse or my book bag if I'm going to work. I also go as far as to pack a toothbrush and toothpaste. Why? Because sometimes we eat things that don't smell great, right? And you don't want to be walking around with Chipotle breath or have coffee on your breath all day. No, especially when you don't have to, right? It's simple as planning ahead, right? You know, at least for me, I know every day I'm probably gonna have some coffee. So because I don't want coffee breath all day, I'm going to plan ahead by intentionally putting mints in my bag, by packing my toothbrush, because I just care about my body, my temple in all aspects, right? From the way I look, right? That's one part of being beautiful, but there are so many parts. It's not just the way you look, it's your fragrance. And in this case, we're talking about your literal fragrance, your attitude, right? But let's not hop ahead. Okay, so when we talk about mints and toothbrushes, as ladies, I know my young ladies, I hope at least have been taught this, but pack you a little feminine hygiene bag. You never know what could happen. Put your lady care in there, put you a fresh pair of underwear in there. Always have you like some chapstick, some wipes, a little body spray. I know my high school girls, they love the Bath and Body Works little sprays, and I think it's awesome, right? Touch yourself up throughout the day, because we have lots of things going on, ladies. We really do. On top of the things that the average person has going on, right? So pack you a little deodorant. And guess what? It's okay to go to the restroom throughout the day. I actually think it's very ladylike. Maybe that's why they called it a powder room, right? The restroom, the ladies' room. I think it's very feminine and beautiful to just touch up your hygiene throughout the day, not just in the morning and at night, especially if you're active like myself. If you don't know, I'm a dance teacher, so I literally sweat all day long. Do you think that I want to walk around smelling like sweat all day just because I'm a dance teacher? Absolutely not. So I have my deodorant and things in my bag. And I try to just be clean. And that sounds really, really simple. However, like I said, we all have different needs. Some people might be able to get away with only washing in the morning and at night. But if you know, right, at a certain age, you know, you've lived long enough to know your body. At a certain age, you should know what your body needs and be woman enough, be mature enough, be wise enough to take care of those needs for yourself and not have to wait for somebody to tell you. Because at that point, it's kind of bad look, kind of too late, right? Woman up and handle your hygiene. Next on our list of feminine discretion and modesty is our clothing. Now, we talked a lot about this in episode one. So, just ever so briefly, when it comes to discretion and modesty in our attire, I just always have to go back to the Bible. I have to go back to the Word of God, right? So, I just feel that as God's daughters, he loves us so much, and in his order, he has set for those of us who are meant to be wives, he has meant for us to be enjoyed and, you know, discovered by the man who has earned our love and has committed himself to us as our husbands, right? And the man that does commit himself to you as your husband, in my opinion, obviously we're women, we're beautiful, but it shouldn't be your cleavage and the black of your behind that attracts the man that is going to love you into your old age, right? So if it takes all that, right, if you have to do that to attract someone, if they're attracted by, you know, your flesh, I question that, you know, I question the value and the longevity of that attraction, right? Because we know all these things are gonna fade away. One day, your boobs are not gonna be perky. I just have to be frank with you. One day, your butt is probably gonna look like a diaper or, you know, just not so appealing. What is it about your character? What is it about your aura, your spirit that you are highlighting in your clothing, right? Maybe you are just a fun-loving person, energetic, adventurous. How can you accentuate or highlight that in the way you dress, right? These are qualities and virtues that don't fade away. Maybe you are a gentle, quiet spirit. Maybe you're very serene, right? How do you dress in a way that communicates that facet of your beauty, right? I challenge us as women to build on things that will last, right? Even our faces are going to shift and change over time. Okay, so I know we're not talking about makeup per se, but my point in saying that is find the traits about your character, your personality that are of value. And find different ways that you can highlight that in your clothing without feeling the need to show every nook and cranny of your body. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I really feel that women are God's little splash of beauty in the earth amongst our male counterparts. You know, y'all look good too, but we just on a different level, okay? Y'all know it. That's why you try to get us, right? You know it. So, I'm not saying to wear paper bags and only wear brown and don't draw attention to yourself. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. God has created us all in so many different, unique, and gorgeous ways. And I feel that all those facets of our beauty, in terms of our body types and shapes, should be accentuated. However, they should be accentuated in a way that one, honors God, two, honors the value of who you are as his daughter and his temple, and three, if you have been called to be a wife, you know, honors your husband even before you're married, right? The Bible says he who finds a wife, meaning that you have to be recognizable, right? You have to be that wife before someone can find you as one, right? So if you're aspiring to marriage, consider how your husband would feel to have other men, you know, visualizing you in a sexual way. And men, people are going to do what they do. However, I feel as responsible and wise women, we play a role in presenting ourselves how we want to be received in the world. And then we let the rest fall where it falls. But do your part to be recognized and perceived and held to the standard of a feminine, godly woman in the way that you dress. Might you or someone you know benefit from godly feminine advice? Well, I've got something in store for you. I am launching ABCD, which stands for Asia Martin's Brand Consultations for Dancers. Now you might be saying, how do I take part in this if I'm not a dancer and if I don't have a brand? Well, this is a coaching service that's open to all. You don't have to be a dancer. However, if you are, say you're a part of a team and you would like this service for your entire group, that option is available as well. Essentially, this is an opportunity to receive coaching from myself on how to best dance through life. You do not have to be a woman to take part in this service, and you don't even have to be a Christian. This is simply an opportunity to fellowship with someone who has your best interest in mind. So, stay tuned for more details if you'd like to receive coaching from myself. I'm looking forward to speaking with you.
All right, now this one is going to be a little bit of a touchy topic. However, y'all know I'm going to say what needs to be said. Look, y'all can call me Auntie at this point because Auntie going to say it whether you like it or not. So on to hair. Now, in terms of modesty and discretion, y'all, I just have to say it. Now, obviously, this doesn't apply across the board, but I'm talking to those that it applies to. If it don't apply, let it fly. But who are we wearing these wigs for? I just want to understand, y'all. Like, are we wearing them for ourselves? Are we wearing them for attention from men? Like, what is the purpose? Because, and I just got to be honest, no matter how well the wig is installed, we still see the lace. Lace wear, it's right there. I see it. I see the little screen door on our foreheads, girls. I see it. And if I see it, I don't know. Men don't really, you know, always pay attention to details, but I think they're kind of catching on to these wigs. I just, personally, I admonish and encourage women to learn more about their natural hair, right? I know many of us say, oh, my hair is hard to manage. Like, I just don't want to do it. I don't have time. Maybe it's expensive. Having natural hair can be costly depending on how you style it. So I get it. I know everybody has their own reasons. However, and I'm going to stand on this, all women need to understand and be able to maintain and grow their own natural God-given hair. If you have not figured out how to do that, as you get into your older years, being more mature, over, I'd say about 24, once you get over that, you know, little hump, you need to have some kind of handle on how to do and maintain the length, the health of your hair. Okay. Now, in the Black culture, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I know my mom, she put a perm in my hair from a very young age, right? I always had a lot of hair and I didn't like getting it combed, okay? I was a kid. And at that time, you know, my mom's response to that was just to put a perm in my hair because maybe it would be easier for her, easier for me. However, because I wore perms, you know, all pretty much through my childhood years, I never really learned how to appreciate my natural hair. I really didn't know that my hair was curly until maybe eighth grade when I decided, like, I don't want to perm my hair anymore. And, you know, I went through a process of, you know, the perm breaking off and wearing my hair in more natural styles and growing it out and cutting it and playing with different products and learning how much heat my hair could handle. I went through all of these experiments with my hair and eventually I figured it out. You know, I figured it out. I didn't lean on weaves or wigs. Of course, I wore them when I had performance because it's just best for that. If you're a dancer, especially in the Deep South, y'all know it's hot and we sweat, and or you're in entertainment or something like that, I get it. But just to be walking around with a lace front on every day, I just can't. Now again, if you have some kind of illness or condition, obviously I am not talking to you. I'm talking to those that can and just don't, right? So I challenge us as women to further educate ourselves on our hair and learn to love it and embrace it. Because when you think about it, it's kind of like you're shunning, you're hiding, you're compressing a piece of your identity. And how can you show up fully in the world when you are consistently hiding, covering a part of what makes you who you are? Like, God gave you the curls, the coils, the kinks, the naps, okay, that you have on purpose. He's an intentional God, right? That's not to say that he wants us to walk around feeling less than or feeling like we don't look good. However, we've got to put in the work to cultivate this beautiful head of hair, no matter what it looks like, that God gave us. It takes work. Don't be afraid of the work, y'all, because on the end of it, at the other side of the rainbow, after you do the work of discovering and experimenting, is a beautiful, healthy head of hair that you can be proud of and wear with confidence. So, you know, this is all just my thoughts. And guess what? It's my podcast. So I can say what I want. Get your own podcast. But I would love to see women embrace their natural hair a bit more. While we're on the topic of hair and, you know, why we style it the way we do, let's talk about makeup. And I'm going to be very brief with this one, okay? Because my thoughts on it are very clear cut and to the point, much like my thoughts on hair. Ladies. Let's start with this thought. You are a lady. God made you a woman. You don't have to convince us that you are, okay? You do not have to wear lashes that are 10 miles long, y'all. You really, really don't, okay? Now, I might be a little bit biased because God, you know, he blessed me with pretty long lashes. However, I'm not saying, like, don't ever wear false lashes. What I'm saying is, don't cause a tornado every time you flap your eyes, right? Don't sweep us up in a whirlwind, babe. It's okay. It's really okay. Mascara is a thing. It's beautiful. It's you. It's natural. I don't know, y'all. This music video, this culture has literally turned our minds upside down in terms of what beauty is. And I am just here to set the record straight, okay? Beauty is you. Beauty is you however God created you. When it comes to makeup, as godly feminine women, in my opinion, makeup is there to accentuate what God has already given you. If you have beautiful big eyes, that's a staple. That's iconic, okay, for you. How can you accentuate that in a way that is natural to what you're already working with? You know, we don't want to look like cartoons, ladies. We don't want to look like, dare I say it, insects. You know, with the really little upper body and the huge butt like Bugs Life. We don't want to look like that. And, you know, that's not makeup, but y'all get my point. We don't want to look like cartoons. This is real life, and you are a real full-blown woman, okay? So with that being said, you don't have to do much. Your nature as a feminine woman is gorgeous and attractive. And my prayer is that we would fall back into that place of being softer and not being so aggressive and in your face with everything that we do. Y'all, we have proven that we can go to the ends of the earth and back and bring a village with us, okay? And start a new one once we get back to where we came from. We can, we have, we will continue to be on top, okay? I don't think that we have to prove it and compulsively almost justify it in every single aspect of our lives, including how we present to the world and our makeup. You don't have to have lips that are the size of a pool toy. Your lips are beautiful the way they are, whether they are thin or full. Again, how can you accentuate what God has given you? Because it's beautiful. He's made us all different for different purposes. The fact that so many of us are starting to look the same, like there's almost a formula for the baddie. And I just think that is a slap in the face to God, because if he wanted us to all look that way, I can assure you that he would have made that happen. But no, he made you with your beautiful brown eyes, and you with your round nose, and you with your big full cheeks, and you with your beautiful brown skin. He made that for a reason, for a purpose, for your purpose. So let's honor God by honoring the traits and all the little beauty marks that he's given us as our creator. Let's shine a light on them instead of drowning them out with pounds and pounds and layers of lies. Accentuate, not recreate. Last and certainly not least, let's talk about social media. Now, this one could really have its own episode, so I'm gonna try to keep it short and sweet. I know I keep saying that, but I'm gonna really try this time. So, social media. Lots of strangers, all your business available for the world to see. If there's any place to practice discretion and modesty, social media would be the place, right? Not only because you put your safety at risk physically, but again, going back to discernment, we don't know the people that are consuming the information that we put out there, right? Even when you think you know them. So I'll say it's best to use social media for what it is. Interact, you know, have conversations, discover new things. But I would not advise you to use it as a diary, especially when you have strong feelings and emotions, because again, it's not anybody's business, right? When you're having, you know, your girl's night, we've all had them. You're getting a little tipsy, having a little fun, right? At least put it on close friends, y'all. Come on. Let's use wisdom, right? Because, you know, not that we, and it's not even about us. It's not even about us caring about what other people think about us. As Christian women, we are billboards for Christ, right? And we all go through processes, right? God has to prune us and clean us up over time, okay? But as Christian women, we know right from wrong, right? So I'll just say always try to be a light versus a stumbling block for another believer, right? Your journey is your journey. And I honor all journeys and processes because I've had a very interesting one myself. However, all things that we do as Christian women should bring glory and honor to God. So I'd say consider that the next time you want to make a post on social media. Ask yourself, does this post honor God, or does it honor myself, my flesh, my feelings at this moment? And I think that'll help us all make better decisions. As always, we'll end this podcast with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your daughters. Lord, please help us to use discernment as we navigate this thing called life. Lord, I pray that you heal the wounds that would cause us to overshare our treasures, Lord God. Pray that you reveal to us how valuable we are in your eyes, so that we would do a better job of protecting ourselves and a better job of presenting ourselves as your billboards to the world. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to spread light to your daughters in the best way that I know how. I pray that you bless them, cover them, and keep them today and every day. And in all things, I pray that we continue to grow as your beautiful flowers in the earth. Lord, I thank you, I honor you, and I praise you always. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.